Ever feel like we're living in a sci-fi movie with all this talk about AI? Well, today we're doing a deep dive into something that's ripped straight from the headlines. The EU's AI Act. I've got the source code right here, excerpts from the actual document, and we're going to break it down. What does it actually mean? You know, for you, for me, for everybody.
Yeah, this is a big one, you know. It's a fascinating piece of legislation. I mean, the EU is really, really trying to get ahead of the curve here, setting the ground rules for how AI should and shouldn't be used. I mean, this is big stuff.
And it's not just some, you know, European tech policy thing, right? It's global.
Absolutely. Globally impactful. I mean, this is going to set a precedent. One of the most interesting things about the AI Act is how it defines its scope. And basically, it focuses on anybody who is putting AI systems on the market. It doesn't matter if you are, you know, some tech giant in Silicon Valley or a small startup. It applies to you. And get this, it even applies to companies outside of the EU if their AI is being used within the EU's borders.
So if I am, say, a company in Japan developing facial recognition AI, and a security company in Italy wants to use it, that Japanese company still.
They need to be aware of the EU AI Act. They would have to comply with the rules. That's how far-reaching this legislation is. It's global.
Wow, that's huge. Okay, but, you know, let's be honest. When most people hear AI regulation, they're probably thinking, you know, the Terminator.
Yeah.
Killer robots. Does the AI Act actually address those kinds of scenarios?
Not specifically, no. The Act is much more focused on practical, real-world concerns about how AI is being used today and in the very near future. And it recognizes that not all AI is created equal. So instead of trying to regulate every single instance of AI, it focuses on what it deems high-risk uses.
Okay, high-risk meaning?
Think of it this way. Areas where AI's decisions can have a really, really significant impact on people's lives. So things like healthcare, social security, employment, you know, even the justice system.
So no killer robots. But if an AI is deciding whether I get a job interview or a loan, the EU wants to make sure that's being done, you know, fairly and transparently.
Exactly. And transparently. For example, imagine an algorithm is being used to, say, you know, filter job applicants, right? And it's been trained on data that unintentionally favors, you know, certain demographics over others. The EU AI Act wants to ensure that that kind of bias is identified and addressed.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, especially, you know, as AI becomes more integrated into these really important areas of our lives. So how does it address those situations? Does it, I mean, are there any outright bans on using AI for certain things?
It does have some pretty clear no-go zones.
Okay.
One of the big ones is using AI to manipulate people, especially when it comes to exploiting vulnerabilities.
So no AI-powered subliminal messaging to get me to buy that new gadget I definitely don't need.
Exactly. You got it. The Act is particularly concerned about protecting vulnerable groups like, you know, children or the elderly from that kind of manipulation.
Okay. That seems more than reasonable. What else is on the EU's AI naughty list?
Let's see. Another big one is what they call social scoring. Basically, using AI to, like, rank people based on their behavior or social status.
It's like that Black Mirror episode where everyone's constantly rating each other.
Yeah, precisely. That kind of system raises some really, really significant ethical concerns. And, you know, the EU AI Act wants to prevent that from becoming a reality.
Yeah. I think we can all agree, probably for the best.
Yeah.
One of the things that strikes me about all of this is just the emphasis on transparency. Like, it seems like the EU really wants to make sure people understand how these AI systems are making decisions.
Absolutely. Transparency is like a cornerstone of the AI Act. It mandates that companies developing and using high-risk AI systems need to be very, very open about how those systems work.
So no more black boxes when it comes to AI making important decisions about our lives. What does that actually look like in practice?
Well, for one thing, it means that individuals will have the right to know when an AI system is being used to make a decision that affects them.
Okay.
And they'll have the right to request an explanation of how that decision was made.
So let's say, you know, my loan application gets rejected, and I suspect that there was an algorithm involved in that decision. I could actually ask for an explanation.
That's right. And the company using that algorithm would be obligated to provide a clear and understandable explanation of how it was used in your case. Yeah, this right to explanation is a really, really important aspect of the AI Act's approach to transparency and accountability.
It almost sounds like it would force companies to be more, you know, thoughtful and responsible about how they develop and deploy these systems in the first place.
Exactly.
If you know you have to explain it later.
Exactly. The goal is to build trust in AI by making sure it's used in a way that is transparent, accountable, and respects fundamental rights.
Okay. So we've talked about high-risk AI, banned practices, transparency, the importance of it. But what about the data itself? Like, these AI systems are only as good as the data that they're trained on. So what does the EU AI Act have to say about that?
You're right. Data is absolutely crucial here. The AI Act places a very strong emphasis on the quality of the data used to train these systems.
What does that mean in practical terms?
It means that companies need to make absolutely sure that the data they're using is relevant, it's representative, and it's free from bias. And this is especially important in those high-risk areas that we talked about earlier.
So no more just feeding AI a bunch of skewed data and hoping for the best.
Exactly. The Act requires companies to have procedures in place to identify and mitigate any potential bias in their data sets. They also need to be able to demonstrate that they've taken steps to ensure the quality of their data.
This all sounds incredibly complex. Like, I can only imagine trying to implement these requirements is a huge undertaking for companies.
It's definitely a significant undertaking, and it requires a little bit of a shift in mindset. But the EU is not trying to stifle innovation. They are trying to encourage responsible AI development.
And that's where this whole idea of regulatory sandboxes comes in, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, I've heard that term.
Think of them as, like, controlled environments where companies can test out their AI systems before they're, you know, released out into the wild.
So it's like a safe space for AI experimentation.
That's a great way to put it. It allows companies to try out new ideas, new approaches to AI development, but within a structured framework, right? Where they can get feedback from regulators, they can address any potential issues, you know, before their AI is actually deployed in the real world.
It makes a lot of sense. So it sounds like the EU is really trying to find that balance between fostering innovation, which is so important, but also making sure that it's done responsibly.
That's exactly right. And you know what? This approach is actually gaining a lot of attention globally. Many experts believe that the EU's AI Act could become a model for other countries that are looking to regulate this rapidly evolving technology.
That's fascinating. So the EU is kind of setting the standards here in a way.
In many ways they are. And that is huge. You know, by establishing clear guidelines and principles, the EU is really helping to shape the future of AI, but in a way that prioritizes human values.
Okay.
And societal well-being.
This is all incredibly insightful. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's take a step back and think about our listeners for a second. Because, you know, someone might be listening to this and they're thinking, okay, this is all well and good, but I'm not, you know, an AI developer. I'm not a tech CEO. Like, how does any of this actually affect me personally?
That's a great point. It's easy to get lost in the weeds with all the technical details. But here's the thing. The EU AI Act is about much more than just regulating technology. It's about protecting people. It's about ensuring that AI is used in a way that benefits society as a whole, not just, you know, a select few.
So it's really about, you know, setting some ground rules for how this incredibly powerful technology is used, even in ways that people might not even, you know, immediately think about.
Yeah, yeah. Precisely. Like, think about it. The Act actually addresses the use of AI in, you know, things like credit scoring or loan applications. It wants to make sure that these systems aren't, you know, perpetuating biases that could unfairly disadvantage certain groups of people.
So, like, if I'm applying for a mortgage and an AI system is involved in assessing my application, the EU AI Act wants to ensure that I'm being treated fairly, regardless of, you know, my background, my demographics, any of that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's about making sure that AI is used to promote, you know, fairness, equality, and not exacerbate any kind of existing inequalities.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Now, we've talked a lot about, you know, businesses, individuals within the EU. What about the bigger picture? Like, how does this act position the EU globally when it comes to AI?
That's a great question. I think by taking this really proactive approach to AI regulation, the EU is really positioning itself as a leader in this space. I mean, they're sending a very clear message that they are serious about developing and using AI responsibly.
And that message is being heard, right? It's not just, you know, staying within Europe.
Oh, absolutely. Many, many other countries are looking at the EU AI Act as a potential model for their own AI regulation. So even though it's a European Union initiative, it has this global impact, you know, on how we think about and govern AI.
That's so interesting. So in a way, the EU is setting the standards, you could say, for ethical AI.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful position to be in, because by establishing these clear guidelines, these principles, the EU is helping to shape the future of AI in a way that puts human values and societal well-being first.
That's like they're saying, if you want to play in the AI sandbox, these are the rules.
Yes. And those rules are there to make sure that everyone benefits.
Right. Speaking of sandboxes, we talked about the concept of regulatory sandboxes earlier.
Yes, we did.
Can you, like, elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah.
How do they work? Why are they important?
Sure. As we touched upon, regulatory sandboxes are essentially these controlled environments where companies can actually test out their AI systems in, like, real-world settings, but before they're fully deployed.
So it's like a testing ground.
Exactly. It's a testing ground for AI, where these companies can experiment, they can refine their technology, but under the watchful eye of regulators.
Well, somebody's kind of keeping an eye on things, making sure that...
Always. Yeah. Always. The idea is to create a space where, yeah, innovation can flourish, but it's done safely.
Yeah. It's like, we want to encourage you to try new things and to innovate in this space, but we need to have these kind of like, you know, safety measures in place, especially given how quickly everything's moving.
Precisely. It allows for flexibility and adaptation. And quite frankly, it also helps the regulators because they get to really understand how these technologies work in practice.
So everybody learns. It's not just a one-way street.
Exactly. It's a learning process for everybody. And ultimately, that's how we ensure that, you know, AI develops in a way that works for everyone.
Now, I have to imagine that, you know, putting all of this into practice, you know, data quality standards, transparency, the sandboxes, like, that's got to be so complex.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges that you see companies and organizations facing when it comes to actually, you know, complying with the AI Act?
One of the biggest ones is just figuring out how to put this into practice. How do we operationalize it? Because the AI Act is intentionally broad.
Yeah.
You know, it allows for that flexibility, but there's some ambiguity in there too. So companies really have to wrestle with, how do we take these principles and turn them into actual, you know, policies and procedures in our company?
So it's one thing to say, okay, here's, you know, what the law says, but then it's another thing to be like, okay, what does that actually mean for us? How do we do it?
Right. It requires really understanding the spirit of the law, the ethics behind it, and then embedding that in how you develop AI. It's not just checking boxes.
Right. It's almost a cultural shift.
It is. It's a huge cultural shift, but I think it's a really, really important one. And, you know, the EU AI Act is definitely pushing us in that direction.
Now, you know, we've talked a lot about the EU, obviously, but this is a global conversation. Like, what are some other... you know, they're being explored out there to deal with AI.
Well, you're absolutely right. The EU AI Act is incredibly important, but it's not the only show in town. A lot of other countries, international organizations, they're all trying to figure out, how do we govern AI?
What are some of the, like, you know, the themes that you're seeing? Are there any commonalities?
One of the big ones is, we've got to work together on this, because AI doesn't, you know, stop at a border.
Right.
Right. Right.
So we've got to work together. Mm-hmm. And it can't just be governments. It's got to be industry, researchers, even, you know, civil society. Everybody needs to be a part of this conversation.
So this idea of, you know, bringing everyone to the table to talk about, you know, the future that we want to create with AI, it sounds like that's really important.
It's crucial because, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, we want to make sure that AI develops in a way that is ethical and benefits everyone. We don't want to leave anybody behind.
It sounds like, honestly, we're just at the beginning of figuring all of this out.
We are just at the tip of the iceberg here. But the good news is, we're having this conversation, people are paying attention, and they're realizing how important it is to get this right. Now, one of the things that I find so fascinating and, you know, honestly, a little bit intimidating is how quickly AI is evolving. I feel like every day there's a new article, there's a new breakthrough. It's changing so fast.
The pace of change is incredible. I mean, it can be a little overwhelming to keep up with it.
How do you regulate something that's changing so quickly?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? It's tough. But one thing that people are talking about is, instead of trying to create very specific rules for, you know, you can do this, you can't do that.
Right.
Focusing on principles.
Okay, so like high level principles. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, like instead of saying you absolutely cannot use AI for X, you say AI should always be used in a way that respects, you know, human dignity and autonomy. Like these broad ethical guidelines that you can then apply, you know, regardless of the specific application.
Okay. Right. So almost like a set of values that we can keep coming back to and sort of using as our guiding light.
Exactly.
Even as, you know, the technology changes so rapidly.
Exactly. Because it is going to keep changing, but it requires us to really think about the ethics of it and to constantly be having these conversations, right? Like, what does it mean to use AI responsibly?
Right. And that conversation is going to have to keep evolving as the technology evolves.
Absolutely. This is not a one and done. Regulating AI, it's ongoing. We've got to be constantly vigilant, always adapting.
So it's not enough to just create the rules. We also have to create this culture of, like you said, responsible AI innovation.
It's got to be part of our DNA. And that takes education, awareness, and honestly, a willingness to be uncomfortable sometimes. To really grapple with these really tough questions about, you know, where is this all going and how do we make sure it goes well?
Yeah. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. It's a little scary, but it's definitely an exciting time to be, you know, thinking about these things and working in this space.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the choices that we're making today, these are going to have consequences for generations. You know, my kids, your kids, it's big stuff.
Well, on that note, I think we could all use a little break to kind of process all of this. So let's take a quick one. When we come back, we're going to really dive into the nitty-gritty of the EU's AI Act and see how it's all coming together. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been unpacking the EU's AI Act, kind of laying down the law, so to speak, for artificial intelligence. And before the break, we were talking about how AI is this moving target, always evolving. So how do you even begin to regulate that?
Well, it's a huge question, no doubt. But the EU AI Act is actually pretty clever in that it builds in some wiggle room, some flexibility to adapt. And one of the ways it does that is through this kind of tiered approach to regulation.
Okay, tiered approach, meaning break that down for me.
Basically, not all AI systems are treated the same. They're not all subject to the same level of, you know, scrutiny. So the Act has these different risk categories, right? Based on, like, how much impact could this AI system actually have?
So, like, an AI that helps me order a pizza is not on the same level as an AI that's, like, you know, diagnosing my medical condition.
You got it. The higher the potential risk, like, to fundamental rights or safety, the stricter the rules get. It's all about keeping things, you know, proportional.
Makes sense. So you're not, like, over-regulating something that's relatively low risk, but if it's high risk.
You got to be much more careful. Yeah. Exactly. And it makes it a little easier for companies to wrap their heads around, too.
Right. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive. We talked about high-risk AI, the data behind it all, transparency, these regulatory sandboxes, and, you know, how the whole world is watching what the EU is doing. But I want to bring it back to our listeners for a sec. Someone tuning in might be thinking, okay, this is all fascinating, but, like, why should I personally care about any of this?
You know, that's such a fair question. And honestly, here's what I would say. AI, it's already changing the world in big ways, in small ways, and it's only going to get bigger. The EU AI Act, love it or hate it, it's a landmark attempt to make sure that those changes are positive, that AI is used ethically, that it's used responsibly, and that it doesn't, you know, trample on people's rights.
It's about making sure that, you know, we're using AI, not the other way around.
100%. And that is something that affects every single one of us.
It does. Well, this has been such a thought-provoking conversation. Thank you, as always, for lending your expertise to this. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners out there?
You know, just that this is a conversation that we all need to be part of. It's not over. Stay informed, ask questions, you know, don't be afraid to get a little uncomfortable and really think about what kind of future we're building with AI.
Well said. Well said. And on that note, that wraps up our deep dive into the EU's AI Act. Hopefully you learned a thing or two, maybe had your mind blown a little bit, and you'll come back and join us next time for more explorations at the cutting edge of, well, everything. Until then, keep learning, keep questioning, and take care.